Merry Christmas. How many of you opened your presents before you came? All right. How many of you are waiting till after service? One word, Scrooge. That's just mean, man. Kids come down staring at all those things. They can't do anything about it. Well, that's all right. Good for you guys. Yeah, this is just a great day. I can't think of a better day to have Christmas on than a Sunday. Because we know that on Sunday, we, especially in this country, we're free to just gather together as a people of God, as a people of Christ, and just worship Him. And what better way to worship Him than getting together with other brothers and sisters in Christ and just saying, we give it all to Jesus. You know, it's all about Him and the gifts and stuff. It's all fun and nice and thoughtful and everything. But when it really comes down to it, we wake up on Christmas morning to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And what better way to do it than with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So, man, thanks so much for being here. I had no idea what to expect this morning, and this is awesome. We're glad that you're here today. We're in the fourth Sunday, in the fourth week of our series, Unbelievable. And if you'll remember, if you haven't caught up with the series, you can get them on CD as you leave. Those are free. You can take them, use them as frisbees. Shotgun practice, whatever, bow and arrow, whatever you want to do with them. But you can catch up on the series on CDs, or you can go to kccwired.com. But in this Unbelievable series, we looked at the story of Jonah the first week, and we looked at this unbelievable story about a giant fish swallowing a guy and then vomiting him up on land, right? Really the most unbelievable aspect of that story is that Jonah would have so much hate in his heart for the people of Nineveh that he would run the other way. Then we looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the unbelievable story of them being thrown into a fiery furnace, yet their clothes, nothing about them was singed or burnt or anything. Although three of them were thrown in, there was a fourth person that showed up, and we don't know if it was an angel or Jesus or whatever, but a fourth person showed up and rescued them from the fiery furnace. An unbelievable story, but the most unbelievable thing about that story was their faith. That they even said, you know, we believe that God can rescue us, but even if He doesn't, we're not bowing down to that idol, Nebuchadnezzar. And they went into the fiery furnace because of it. And then last week, we looked at the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And Daniel, they for 30 days, nobody was supposed to pray to anybody except to King Darius. And Daniel, as was his practice, was praying three times to God. And so his enemies kind of caught him in a trap there and drug him in, and he had to be thrown into the lion's den. And what we see in that story is that God shut the mouths of the lions. And we serve an unbelievable God that is so powerful and so awesome that not only can He rescue you and I through the blood of His Son, but He even shuts the mouths of lions. And that's how powerful this God is that we believe. Well, obviously today, with it being Christmas, the unbelievable story that we have to talk about is the birth of Jesus, because He was born to a virgin, right? That's unbelievable. And so we want to look at that in Scripture today. But before we get there, I want to ask a question. How many of you have been in a Bible reading plan all year long and you're getting ready to finish it next Saturday? Raise your hand high. Let me see you. All right. All right. I want you to see me after service because I want to present you with a gift next week to celebrate the fact that you made it. Okay? And so make sure you come and tell me after service that, hey, I'm on track. I'm going to finish Saturday night because I don't know what it is. It'll be worth figuratively millions of dollars, I'm sure. Because I think that's an awesome accomplishment. If you've never read through the Bible before, I want to encourage you strongly that in 2017, they make it so easy now with their Bible app. They'll send you a reminder. You can read it in the NIV, the ESV, the ABC, the XYZ, anything you want to. You can read it chronologically. You can read Old Testament and New Testament, Psalms. You can read any way that you want. They make it possible. And I would really encourage you, I'm serious, 15 minutes a day, and you can read through the Bible in a year. And I want to encourage you to do that, because if we call ourselves Christians, and we're in this series about being unbelievable, that how can we really say that we believe something that we haven't read yet? And so if you haven't done that yet, please do that in 2017. And even if you have before, continue reading it. Again, 15 minutes a day that we're reading God's Word and writing it on our heart. All right? That's my encouragement. That's sermon number one, apparently. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we're going to open up to the book of Luke today. All right, here we go. Father, thank You so much for this morning. You are an awesome, powerful God, and we love You. Oh, man, what a great day it is this Christmas morning to be together with the people of God, worshiping You and putting You in Your rightful place, that is, on the throne, with Jesus at your right hand. And Father, we are just so grateful for that picture that we have in our mind, and we can't wait to be there with you someday, to spend all of eternity with you. And Father, today as we celebrate with family and friends and just enjoy this great morning of celebrating the birth of your Son, Jesus, I pray that you would write on our hearts what it is that you want to touch us with this day, that as we leave this place, it would just mean even more and more that as we spend the rest of the day with family and friends, we would just continue to remember and keep in our forefront, keeping right in the center of our life, that Jesus is Lord. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. So how many of you are on Facebook? That's a trick question. You're all on Facebook. I see it every day. Right? Facebook has just gone crazy, and this church communicates more on Facebook than any place or church I've ever been a part of. pretty crazy. But it's fine. It's because, you know, but me as a preacher, I got to get on there also to see what y'all are up to. We have this Facebook. How many of you have ever run across those just unbelievable articles that you're just so tempted to click on it because you're like, man, if Tom Brady really is saying goodbye to the NFL, I want to know about it. Anybody been tempted to click on those? Yeah. And then they're just fishing expeditions, right? They're trying to get into our hardware, software, whatever, wires, and take all of our information and all that. But they make it so tempting with some of these outlandish stories that we find on Facebook, and we're tempted to, click on it and find out more and say, is this real? You know, is this really a news breaking story? I gotta know more about this, right? But hopefully you've gotten past that. Don't answer this question. I want to know who the first person was that actually sent money to the Arab Emirate that needed $30 billion to get him out of jail, right? I want to know who the first person was that said yes to that, because somebody obviously did, because they keep sending them to us. Some of the more outlandish stories that I thought were kind of funny is that there was one story going around that as airplanes flew over our head, and whatever that comes out of the back of those jet engines was actually spraying poison over all of America. Have you ever seen that one? Yeah. And this is my real favorite, is that there was a picture of Justin Bieber bald, and that he had shaved his head for some kind of cause, and a bunch of Bieberites went out and shaved their head. I guess thousands of kids went out and shaved their heads and supported Justin Bieber, and it was just a Photoshop thing, and it has nothing that had to do with Justin Bieber. That's kind of funny. Right. Well, there's one place that we've started to go when we see a story that we're just kind of like, not so sure about that one. And where's that place that we go? Snopes.com, right? Snopes.com. And it was actually started in 1995 by this guy named David Mickelson, who is in Los Angeles. And it really just started as him saying all these different stories, and he thought, something doesn't seem right about this. And so he just started investigating these things. And if you've ever gone to Snopes.com, I enjoy it because he doesn't go out and just say true or false, but actually says, this is why we think that's false, this is why we think it's true, or this is why, you know what, we can't really tell you, but they got their facts mixed up. Or this is a story from 20 years ago, and it's just recirculating on the web, or whatever it is. But it's pretty fascinating that we actually have to go someplace to verify all these stories because people are trying to lie to us every single day. Right? Well, in the book of Luke today, we're going to look at the story of course, the birth of Jesus and the virgin birth. And I want you to go ahead and turn there. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And Luke chapter 1, the first three or four verses, to me, are the most vitally important verses of the book of Luke, and also at the beginning of the book of Acts. This book is being written by Luke. Luke is a physician. He was not one of the apostles. He wasn't walking along with Jesus during this whole time. But he wrote this book, the book of Luke, as well as the book of Acts. And I want us to see in these first four verses the importance of them, and why, as we continue to read through Luke 1, that we can say, okay, I'm buying this story. All right? Luke 1, verses 1 through 4. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us. Okay? So lots of people have tried writing these things, compiling a list of the things that have been accomplished. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. So as many people have actually eyewitnessed and seen these things take place, watched these things happen, namely the apostles, as well as the droves of people that followed Jesus, it seemed good to me also, this is Luke speaking, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. The book of Luke starts out with Luke saying to everyone, listen, or saying to Theophilus, but really saying to us as well, it seemed to me a good idea to really truly investigate this thing, because you're seeing all kinds of stories, all kinds of rumors are being spread. You're hearing things from the Romans, you're hearing things from the Jews, you're hearing things from neutral parties. It seemed to me a good idea to collect all these things and really do the research, Theophilus, so that you can be certain, absolutely 100% certain about the things that you've heard. And Theophilus, I'm gathering, because we don't exactly know who Theophilus was, that because of the relationship that he had with Luke and knowing who he is and that his credentials were good enough, Theophilus said, okay, Luke, I'm going to trust you. You do the homework. I'm going to trust what you're saying to me. I started reading a series of books a couple of years ago by Bill O'Reilly called, one of them is called Killing Jesus. Has anybody ever read any of his Killing series? It's really fascinating. Killing of Lincoln. That was the first one that I read of his. And what I love about it is just the research. The research and the history is just fascinating to me. And he's written about five or six of these books. And I'm hoping when I get to Christmas at my parents' house tonight, number five is right under the tree for me. You can pray for me that that's the case. But I really enjoy these books because of the research that they put into it. And while I don't know Dugard, the guy that writes with O'Reilly, I'm just trusting in the credentials that they have, that they really did the research on these stories to be able to share this truth with me. And the same with Theophilus with Luke is that whatever their relationship, he trusts Luke to say, all right, Luke, I'm going to trust you that the things that you're putting down, that I'm going to be able to read them and it's going to be truth. And what we see is that Luke did his homework to make sure that Theophilus got the right information. Luke did his homework to make sure that Theophilus got the right information. Now, a lot is riding on this for Luke. Imagine if Luke started putting a bunch of lies in there, that he would lose Theophilus as a friend, and however influential Theophilus may have been, as well as everyone else, that if anything was discredited about what Luke had to say, this whole book, this whole story of Jesus just debunked. And so Luke is going to take painstaking, he's just going to put the effort, the labor, into figuring out what this truth is about this guy named Jesus, so that Theophilus and now you and I can be sure about what we read in the Bible about Jesus. Well, in Luke chapter 1, going down to verse 26, starting in verse 26, it says this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying. Now, you're a virgin, you're a teenager, you're sitting there, an angel comes to you and says, you are a blessed one, and the thing that she's concerned about are the words that he uses. That doesn't strike you as funny? I would be more concerned that an angel showing up to me and talking to me. Wasn't that to you? Yeah. She was greatly troubled at the saying. What was the saying? Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was more concerned about those words than she was about an angel showing up to talk with her. Greatly troubled at the saying and trying to discern what sort of greeting this might be. What do you mean that I'm a favored one? And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Now that's an announcement for a baby, isn't it? How many of you would have loved for the doctor to come in and say, all right, blessed are you, Lisa. You're about to give birth to a baby boy. And he's going to be president of the United States someday. And he's going to rule over the whole world, and he's going to have the power to push the little red button if he wants to. Right? And we'd be sitting there, whoa, this is going to be my son? It's happening to him? Yeah, that's awesome. And Mary gets this great announcement about the birth of her son, that he's going to be sitting on the throne of David. This is Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is the anointed one. This is going to be an awesome thing that you are going to get to be a part of. And why? Because blessed are you. Blessed are you. You are favored by God. And he's going to look after you. And what we see is that God sent the angel Gabriel to give Mary the right plan. God sent the angel Gabriel to give Mary the right plan. Now you'll notice in these few verses, what did we read? We read Nazareth. We read Mary. We read Gabriel. We have specifics about this story of the virgin birth. And why do we have these specifics? we go back to those first four verses. It seemed like a good idea, Theophilus, for me to make an orderly account and to investigate and to talk to eyewitnesses and to figure out who in the world this Jesus is, what has happened in this course of events, so that I can give you a detailed explanation of what actually has taken place. And then we see as part of that story that the angel was even named, and that Luke figured out what the name of that angel was through talking to people and asking them, and was able to actually tell us the angel's name and say, these were the words that the angel spoke. Mary is a favored one. She is being blessed by being able to carry Jesus. And Jesus will come, and this is who he is. He will sit on the throne of David forever. And we have those details. Why? Because Luke did his homework. And we see that God sent Gabriel to give Mary the right plan. Luke 1:34. Oh, man, if you want to have a verse for 2017 and plaster it all over your... I'm sorry, not that one. I'll get to that in a second. Verse Luke 1:34. That was... I've skipped ahead and like fast forward. Rewind. Okay. Luke 1:34 says this. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? Mary had the same question that we have today. Mary asked the same question that everybody else did. And it's important that Luke puts this in there, that she says, how can this be? I'm a virgin. That's not how this works. I'm a teenager, but I'm smart enough to know that that's how that happens, right? How can this be that I'm a virgin and this is going to take place? And Mary was the first one to ask the question that today so many people are continuing to ask. Come on. Born of a virgin, really? I mean, all right, you did some miracles or did some healing and okay, not so sure, but showed compassion. I get that. Took care of people, loved people. Okay, died on a cross. Yeah, I can get that too. But born of a virgin? And even Mary's asking the question, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And we also, again, have this detail from Luke that he tells people that are asking. You know, even Mary asked that question. She said, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And Mary had the same question that we have today. All right, skip ahead to Luke 1:35 through 37. The angel answered her in response to her question. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son. What was his name? John the Baptist, right? And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. And then look at this, John, Luke 1, verse 37. All right, there's two verses that you want to slap on mirrors this year, and this is the first one. For nothing will be impossible with God. Don't you love that? I go to sleep feeling that. I sleep 8 hours a night, 10 if I can get them, comfortably. You know why? Because nothing is impossible with God. I wake up in the morning and I go to work. And I minister, and I share the gospel, and I preach, and I study God's word. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. That the next Sunday, someone else is going to come forward and say, I choose Jesus, and I can praise God for that. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. I can go to the hospital and pray with people, and I can pray with confidence, and I can pray and ask Him to heal their body. Why? Because nothing's impossible with God. I can go to marriage counseling and have people come in and talk to me and they're just at their wits' end with one another. And I can sit there and I can pray with them and I can just open up scripture because I'm not a psychologist or a counselor. I'm just a preacher. And they come to me and I say, well, let's go to scripture. And I can read that in front of them and say, this is what it means to be a husband and wife. And I can pray with them. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. I can believe in the virgin birth. And I can believe every word that I've read, all 300 and whatever day it is this year, in God's Word, and I believe it as truth. Why? Are you getting it yet? Because nothing is impossible with God. I love that verse. And I hope you love it too. I bank on that verse every single day of my life. And I trust that you do as well. Nothing is impossible with God. Gabriel gave the one answer that should satisfy us all. For nothing is impossible with God. I know that we're going to have people that will come and say, I don't buy the virgin birth. I don't buy that Jesus rose from the grave. I don't buy. All I can tell you is that I believe it. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. I believe that He could impregnate this teenage girl through, with the Holy Spirit. And that Jesus would come into the world in that way. And that He would heal people. And that, yes, he would die on the cross. And that, yes, he would be raised 3 days later, because nothing's impossible with God. And I believe that. Luke 1:38. This is the other verse that we should plaster all over our mirrors and in our cars and make wallpaper of it. Here it says, "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I can't tell you that because everything is possible with God means that nothing bad will happen in your life. I can't tell you that because nothing is impossible with God that you won't face some health issues, that we won't face death, that we won't face job loss, that we won't face marriage problems or our kids running crazy or we don't have any money or whatever the case. I can't promise that won't be the case. But what I can say is that if we believe nothing is impossible with God, we can say with a clear conscience before Him every single morning, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And say it with confidence, knowing that whatever God has in mind for me, it's part of His plan. That even my job loss and at the end of my rope and my marriage is falling apart, that God's got a plan in this, that somehow we can be restored through this, that if we continue to pursue Him and glorify Him and honor Him, that because nothing is impossible with Him, things can be restored. If I stay faithful and true and continue to proclaim, "I am the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Mary responded how we all should respond. "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me according to your word. At Snopes.com, there have been several people that have written articles about how Snopes is just trying to expose them. People thought, well, maybe this guy is some investigative reporter with the CIA or the FBI. How does he get all this inside information? How do we know that what he's putting on the website is really the truth? And some people on the right have said, man, he's so liberal that he's just trying to say that all these liberal stories are wrong when we're just trying to expose the liberals for what they really are. And the people on the left are saying, oh, look at this. He's not blasting the conservatives enough because of this, that and the other thing. When actually the guy is just an independent. He's a registered independent. And all he does is he just follows up on stories. He doesn't take a dime from anybody. He does advertising. It takes advertising dollars. I'm sorry. But he doesn't get support from either side of the aisle or anything like that. And the guy's like, I'm just out in California and I'm just typing you and I'm following up these stories, just letting people know what they are. But people continue to want to poke holes in his information because they don't like it when their story is exposed, when they thought for sure that someone they don't like was going to be exposed for a fraud or whatever. People continually, year after year, are trying to expose the Bible and call it a bunch of lies. And call it myth and legend and fables and things that just aren't true. That we're just all been suckered into this place called the church where they open up this book of lies and read it and talk about it like it's truth. And that we're just trying to fool everybody. And I'm like, what would I have to gain from that? In fact, I want to tell you right now that if you don't believe this book, if you don't believe the Bible, what are you doing here? There are so many things to do out there following yourself as God. Go have a ball. You won't like it at the end, but go have a ball now. Right? We either believe it or we don't. And we can look in the book of Luke in those first four verses and see that we had a researcher, a doctor, a learned man who said, I'm going to get the bottom of this for you, Theophilus, because maybe he could tell that he was confused. Or maybe he knew that many other people would be reading it later. But he wanted to do the research and do his due diligence and find out all that he could about the details so that he could put them on paper so that you and I, thousands of years later, could be reading this and know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That he came into the earth, born of a virgin. He showed compassion. He loved. He lived sacrificially all the way to the cross where he died a criminal's death, that as his blood poured out for all of our sins, we might be saved. That was the end of result of all the research that Luke did, is that here's how this virgin birth ends up, that this same man would die on the cross for the sins of the world. That's truth. It's truth. But we have to find out for ourselves. You see, we each get to decide whether or not we believe what the Bible says. We each get to figure that out. And each of us that decides it's true, we then have to decide whether or not to receive it like Mary and proclaim it like Gabriel and Luke. We have the Bible in front of us. We have the opportunity every day. We live in a country, you know, in some countries, they have to snuggle in Bibles and hide them in the dirt for months on end before they can try to even take a chance to dig it out and open it up to see what it says before they might get caught and executed for even having a Bible. We're in a country where we have 15 of them in our home sitting on the bookshelves, right? In every version imaginable, not to mention in our smartphones or our devices that we can look them up as well. We have so much access to the Bible. And the question is, do we believe it? And if so, will we proclaim it like Gabriel and Mary? And receive it, proclaim it like Gabriel and Luke, and receive it like Mary. And Gabriel proclaimed it in this way to all those people that wanted to poke holes in the story of Jesus and the virgin birth. Nothing is impossible with God. And Mary received it how? I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me however you see fit, Lord God. Do you trust that? Do you believe that this morning? That on this Christmas morning, as you gather with your family and friends and we have fun and we have the presents and the singing and the food and all this kind of thing, that this truly is the day that we celebrate the birth of a Savior. Born to a virgin, died on a cross, rose 3 days later, so that you and I, upon accepting that Jesus is Lord, can live with Him for all of eternity. And why? Because nothing's impossible with God. I pray that you believe that this morning, and I proclaim that as you leave this place, you will proclaim it like Gabriel and continue to research it like Luke and put down on paper what your thoughts are so that all the world will come to know that Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Again, thank you for this day that we get to set aside to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Father, I pray that each one of us will sleep easy tonight because we bank on the promise that nothing is impossible with God, that nothing is impossible with you. And Father, I pray that as we wake up every morning, we wake up with our hands wide open saying, Lord, we are your servant. Do with us whatever you see fit. Whatever is the right thing that will bring you glory and honor this day, may you do it to us. And may we be ready with feet that are ready to move and a mouth that's ready to speak and ears that are ready to listen and hands that are ready to serve. Because you are our God and nothing's impossible with you. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.